We bring in Scott Strickland, the athletic director at Mississippi State. Scott, thanks for joining us on Overtime.
I appreciate it, guys. How are y'all today?
We're doing good. We're doing good. You got former Razorback Matt Jones, who I guess in your time you were at Kentucky with that 7 overtime game that him and Jared Lorenzen, the two quarterbacks that battled in that one.
Absolutely. In fact, when I saw that Matt was on the show, that's the first thing I thought of. And that was one of the it was a huge credit to Arkansas, obviously, to win the game. But what I remember about that game is Kentucky had 4 or 5 plays in overtime where if they had made the had a positive outcome on any one of those plays, either a stop or a score, they win the game and they never could finish it. And I think Arkansas had one of those and finally got to one of those opportunities in the 7th overtime and made the play and won. And just it was a great game, great SEC football game.
Scott, obviously Arkansas and Mississippi State, two teams that at the beginning of the year we thought, okay, this game could actually mean a whole lot, and Arkansas has pretty much gone the opposite direction of what they had been the last couple of years. But sometimes when you cut off the head of the program, that the program does fall a little bit. Your thoughts on this Arkansas Razorback team that's coming to Starkville Saturday?
Well, you know, obviously they got a lot of talent, and you know, it starts with the quarterback, and Tyler Wilson has had I guess he's been the starter for 2 years, and he's been one of the best in our league, if not at the very top, over that time. And to win in this league, you've got to have somebody taking the snaps who gives you a chance to win. And Tyler Wilson certainly does that. And they've always got athletes at the skill position. And you know, in this league, it's such a fine line between where Arkansas has been the last couple of years and where they are right now. It doesn't take much. Either way, you know, a year ago, Mississippi State, or 2 years ago, we went 8-4 in the regular season, could have easily been 6-6. Last year we went 6-6, could have easily been 8-4 or better. And it's just, you know, there's usually a couple plays in any one particular game that makes the difference. And this is an Arkansas team that's very, very capable of beating anybody in our league and from a talent standpoint, and certainly a program with a ton of history. And they've had a lot of success against us, so it certainly gets our attention when the Razorbacks come to town.
Hey, Scott, I'll ask you another question about the game in a second, but I want to get just something for our listeners right now. The process it goes into when you're hiring a new coach, and does it change a little bit, or is it pretty much the same thing? So our fans, you know, because we're probably getting a new head football coach, and so what is the process that goes on with that? And, you know, everybody wants it to be announced earlier, but, you know, you want to make sure you get the right guy, and sometimes it just takes a while.
Absolutely. You know, and I'm speaking generically here. I wouldn't want to comment on the situation there. I have too much respect for Jeff and the job he does. But, you know, just generically, obviously, you try to get as much information as you can. And it's interesting. You know, we're looking for a new women's soccer coach right now. And that's not a sport that generates the same kind of attention that football does. And so we're in our third week of the search, and it's kind of, you know, we're taking our time and we're really, you know, looking into different folks. And there's not a lot of pressure to rush through that.
I was going
to
say, that's not the hot topic on sports radio down there in Mississippi now?
Right. Well, and hopefully it allows you to make a good decision because you can take your time. We hired a new softball coach a couple years ago and who's done a great job for us, and we took 5 weeks on that process. Mm-hmm. Obviously, in this day and age, in sports like football or men's basketball, there's not a fan base out there that's going to be real patient for a 5-week search. And so it's kind of like speed dating. I mean, you're you know, you're going through the process pretty quick in a typical situation where you let your coach go at the end of the year and you're trying to get somebody on board as quick as possible for recruiting and everything else. But I think in doing that, a lot of times you make a mistake and you rush through it. And I think the best thing you can do is take your time and really do the research. And if it takes you 3 weeks or even 4 weeks instead of 2 weeks, at the end of the day, 2 months after that, nobody cares.
Right.
Nobody cares how long it takes. They just want to make sure you got the right person. And you know, these are tough jobs. They're challenging. You got to know, you know, the traits that you're looking for to lead your program that fit your university. We kind of have certain traits that we look for in all of our coaches, regardless of what sport they coach, that we think are true indicators of success. The fans tend to look at labels, and the labels can change pretty quick. You know, but you know, people want we want a young coach, or we want somebody who's a up and coming coordinator, or we want someone with NFL experience, or we want someone who's been a you know, a successful head coach at this level. And what you find out when you dig a little deeper, a lot of times the labels have no impact on future success. But there are some things that, in my opinion, do lead to future success, and that's work ethic, and that's intelligence, and that's intensity, and those kind of things. And so that's what we look for. Everybody's a little bit different. Arkansas is really fortunate to have an athletic director like Jeff Long, who has so many connections in the industry and knows the game so well. He's coached the game and has been around college football, and he's done a great job with that athletic department. And I know he'll make the decisions that are going to be helpful for Arkansas going forward.
Yeah, you know, fans, they just want to win. Noticing, I watched a Kentucky football game, and I saw about 50 fans in the stadium this week. And I know Mississippi State has some great fans. And what does that do? How does that help, you know, your football or basketball team when you have that type of atmosphere with the fans? How does that help the football team?
Oh, it's huge. And, you know, that's one thing. When Dan Mullen came to Mississippi State 4 years ago, he really challenged our fans to make sure that they're creating that great atmosphere and that great experience on game day, and they've responded. We've sold out 22 straight games. We've got a few hundred tickets left for Saturday. If we get those sold, it'll be our 23rd straight sellout. It makes such a huge difference when your kids run out of the tunnel and the stadium is packed, and they just feed off that energy. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, how big your stadium is. If you run out of the tunnel and the seats are all full, it's a different level of energy coming out of that tunnel. And I think that's really important. And our fan base has been tremendous, and they've really responded to the success we've had. But we started this sellout streak in a year when we went 5-7. And so to me, that's what's really impressive, is our fans kind of bought into Coach Mullen and what we were doing here in our program before we've had success. And in some ways, they've helped expedite the success that we've had, and we're in position to go to our third straight bowl game.
Scott, last year when you were here for the Arkansas-Mississippi State game here in Little Rock and saw the tailgating that took place on the golf course, that's obviously a tradition in the Southeastern Conference. With this early start time, what does it do for the tailgating for those Arkansas fans that might be traveling to Starkville on Saturday? What's the setup? When can they start tailgating before Arkansas and Mississippi State?
Well, we're really fortunate. Our campus does a great job of working with us, and we have a lot of green space around our stadium that on a lot of campuses you don't necessarily have. And we allow people to start setting up their tailgate tents at 4 o'clock on Friday. And what's really fun is if you drive through our campus around the stadium during the day on Friday, you see people kind of sitting on the sidewalk with their tents ready to go onto the green space as soon as 4 o'clock hits on Friday. And we ring the bell on the big chapel of memories, and everybody sprints at 4 o'clock on Friday. It's kind of the sooner land rush, if you will, to claim their spots. And so anyway, they can start that early. So anytime Saturday they get here, we close down the roads around the stadium 3 hours before game time. So at about 8:20, we'll shut down the roads just for pedestrian safety's sake. And what ends up happening a lot of times these early games is people will set up before the game, and then they'll kind of do a lot of post-game tailgating and just kind of make a day out of it. But we're really fortunate. We've got a great tailgating scene. We have the Junction, which is the area south of our stadium that's a great tailgating location, but it's spilled out in all directions from there, and it becomes Tent City like every other SEC campus does on game day.
So you mean to tell me that after the game, everybody's going to be watching that team that you lost to this past Saturday, but rooting for them to beat that school from the north?
Well, you know, we like all SEC football games. It doesn't really matter who's playing, but there'll probably be quite a bit of that. You know the way these in-state rivalries are. It's usually you have two teams you're rooting for every Saturday, yours and whoever's playing your friends in-state.
I was going to say, can you say Ole Miss? I know Dan Mullen doesn't want to, but can you say it?
Oh, absolutely. I love saying Ole Miss. I'm one of the guys that like that. Coach Cheryl used to always call them Mississippi.
Right.
Try to get under their skin, and they don't like Mississippi. They don't want to be Ole Miss, and I kind of like to give them that. I kind of like for us to be the school that people think of when they think of the word Mississippi.
Scott, one thing this year with Arkansas football has been the uniform change, and some fans like it, some fans don't. I've noticed that you've gone out there a little bit with the uniforms this year. Talk about the fans' reaction to some of the changes that you and Dan Mullen and Mississippi State made to the uniforms.
Well, we've that's something that there's nothing that generates fan reaction quite like talk of facility enhancements and uniforms. And it does generate a lot of interest. We've worked with our uniform provider, Adidas, and we've you know, we kind of like doing things a little bit different. I don't think we've gotten too crazy with them, but we've experimented with different color combinations, and we've used a black uniform, and we had an all white and silver look against Texas A&M a couple weeks ago, and it's I think it's something that keeps it fresh and keeps it fun, and there aren't a lot of schools in our league that experiment much with uniforms.
Yeah, most people kind of like the classic. Once they get something, it's tough, unless you're Oregon or something. I see your basketball team out in Maui is going to play North Carolina November 19th. Are you going to be able to make it out there for that? And how big would that be? It'd be a nationally televised game for Mississippi State to beat a team like North Carolina.
Well, it'd be huge. I'm not going to make the game. I had to staff that out, unfortunately. I'm going to stay here and make sure our football team finishes up on a good note. But we've got a new head coach, Rick Ray, and we didn't do him any favors with the roster he inherited. We kind of have a depleted roster, and then we've had some injuries on top of that. We're taking 6 scholarship players to Maui, and just a multitude of reasons. Lost 3 kids to injuries, had kind of a depleted roster to begin with. But we had a win the other night against Florida Atlantic, and they play a really exciting style. They forced 27 turnovers. It was like the most turnovers we've forced in 16 years here at Mississippi State. And so they play a high energy kind of game, and we're going to go over there a little shorthanded to Maui. But that's a great tournament, great college basketball setting, and we'll have our hands full obviously with North Carolina. But this will be a year where we have to really kind of Coach Ray will get a chance to kind of put his imprint on the program from a discipline and style standpoint, and then as we get guys healthy and we recruit and can fill that roster back up, I'm excited about what our future looks like in that sport.
Scott, Arkansas is playing in Maui next year. If you want to wear a Razorback shirt, I'm sure we could stick you in the luggage next year and you could go.
I've been there before. That is one of the great
it is, isn't
events
it?
In college athletics. It's up there with College World Series and bowl games, and it's really a special, special setting. Obviously, the basketball is great, but the scenery is not too bad either.
You're right.
How do you, with the use, with when I played, we didn't have all this social media, the Twitter, I think MySpace and Facebook might have just started coming out. But when you get these young kids come in, and how do you go over how they're supposed to use that, and do you try to regulate that at all so they don't go out and, give bulletin board material or say something they shouldn't say?
We try to monitor it as much as possible, and we talk about it. In fact, this year we brought somebody in and had a mandatory student athlete meeting, spent an hour just talking about that one thing right there, and how everything you put out in social media, whether it's Facebook or Twitter, is probably going to end up in the hands of somebody who's interviewing you for a job one day, and it's really important that you understand the impact that could make, both positively and negatively. We're really fortunate. We have really good kids. We have about 400 student athletes, and 99% of them are really model students and do things the right way and represent us the right way. You've got to have kids that you can hold accountable and are going to do the right thing. You've got to be involved in every part of their life. And obviously, in this day and age, social media is a pretty significant part of young people's lives. And so. Whether it's our coaches, our compliance staff, myself, we have a lot of people paying attention to what our young people are doing in social media. And when you see somebody who may be crossing a line or doing something that you don't think represents them or their team or our university the right way, we have a conversation and we let them know that. And I know some schools have just come out and banned it. I don't necessarily like that. I don't think social media in and of itself is bad. It's kind of like money. Money is neither good nor bad. It's what you do with it.
Right.
Social media is kind of the same way to me, and I think that it's part of our culture and part of our society, and we need to educate our young people on how they use that as opposed to just taking it away and telling them they can't.
Scott Strickland, the athletic director of Mississippi State, joins Jones and Schapp on Overtime right now. And, Scott, you talked earlier about doing things differently, the uniform changes and stuff, but how about the markings on the field, the hashtags in the end zone, a new logo at midfield this week for the game, and then in the north end zone, a tribute to an athlete that I think Arkansas fans can relate to, because Arkansas lost Garrett Ekman after the Mississippi State game last year. You guys lost Nick Bell, and he would have been a senior and in this senior class that you honor this Saturday.
Yeah, that was we lost Nick 2 years ago, and I remember last year reaching out to Jeff Long after Garrett's passing, and you know, no, that's never what you want to do is have to bury a student athlete. And Nick was a young man who had a you know, just an infectious personality and was a favorite among his teammates. And he got sick and then passed in such a short period of time. It was, you know, first week of October, he started a game when we beat Georgia here in Starkville, and 6 weeks later, he's passed away. Mm. So the cancer really hit hard, and we kind of mourned him that year, and we've continued to wear a patch on our jersey, and the Coach Mullen wanted to wear that until Nick's eligibility would have been done, which would have been this year. So we're going to honor him this weekend, and we've used that end zone to kind of be a conversation piece. We put Health State, we put a hashtag in the end zone. We played Texas A&M. It was the first time we played them since we played them in the Snow Bowl and Independence Bowl that year. We kind of commemorated that in the end zone for that game. So we just kind of used that end zone as a conversation piece, and it seemed like a perfect opportunity with this being Nick's senior day. His mom's going to be there. We're going to honor her during the senior day festivities, just like we are all the other parents, and it just seemed like the appropriate thing to do to give Nick one final send-off with his class.
Back real quick to that Snow Bowl. Your marketing department, they must be top of the world, because snow, actual snow in Starkville for the Snow Bowl when there were clear skies?
Yeah, you know, that's it's amazing what you can find on the internet these days. there was a snow machine for rent, and we were able to use that when the team came running out for that game, you know, it was a beautiful 65 degree day, and the sun was shining. There wasn't a cloud in the sky, so it kind of ruined the effect a little bit. But we had some fun with it. Unfortunately, Johnny Football showed up, and A&M kind of took the crowd out of the game early because, you know, the way they're playing right now. But it was fun, and you know what? That's a big piece of it. Sometimes we get criticized when our marketing department puts something like that together and makes a big deal about something. And the team doesn't perform the way we all want them to. And, you know, I think it's our job as the administration to generate excitement and to get people fired up. And because you never know when the team's going to feed off that. And they didn't feed off of it that day, but that's not, you know, the teams are doing the best they can. But you still have to generate that atmosphere, and you got to do it every time. And you can't just sit back and wait for the team to be good and then try to get behind it. I think sometimes you got to prime the pump a little bit, and our marketing staff does a great job of doing that.
Scott, for those fans who might be listening in Eastern Arkansas and might want to take in the game and don't have tickets yet, what do they need to do?
They can call our ticket office at 888-GO-DOGS. That's D-A-W-G-S, Go Dogs. Or they can go online to healthstate.com. And we have, like I said, just I think about 400 tickets left as of this morning. We'd love to have them. It's going to be a beautiful fall day for football. It's not going to be too cold. Sun's going to be out. And I think you'll see two teams that probably both badly need a win, and will be competing really hard and playing good quality SEC football.
Looking here now, partly mostly sunny, 64 degrees Saturday in Starkville. How about that?
Hard to beat that, isn't it?
It is hard to beat that. Scott, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much. Very generous with your time, and we'll see you Saturday at Davis-Wade Stadium.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.